Tuesday, 12th of June, 2012, in Oroville. The heat and wind continues for, we've been told, another 10 days or so. Then shall fall the rains. We have hope. Today, it's 35 degrees Celsius. Tonight, a welcome drop to 29. The sky is overcast, winds southwesterly 22 to 32 kilometers per hour. Here now, Paul, longtime Orovillian, Paul of Botanical Garden, but perhaps best known as part of the Johnny Paul Wazo team, who, not often enough, occasionally beguile us with pithy portrayals and anecdotes on current happenings in Oroville. Paul offers here a bit of enlightenment on the topic of fire in and around Oroville. It seems that we're having an awful lot of heat, heavy winds, and there seems to be fear about fire. Could you enlighten us about this topic?
It's been very hot for the last month. We've just started to have a few rains, but particularly last week we had a lot of heavy wind coming in from the land, which was very hot and dry. And with all the fallen trees and litter lying around on the ground, that's definitely given us a sort of a fire hazard, which in certain areas has actually manifested into fires.
And are these fires out in the bush? Or are they in communities? Where have they taken place? What's the damage?
The fires have been spread around. They've been out in Orobrindavan, in the forest there, and Annapurna had a casuarina tope that burnt down, I think 17 acres of that. There was a fire in Eternity, which also caused some damage. That was in the property of Eternity. There was a fire close to the botanical gardens, which we managed to keep outside of the botanical gardens. And there's been a few other fires, smaller fires, a couple up by Fertile, and probably some I don't even know about.
Now, of course, in the West, when there's a fire, we call 911, and along come the wonderful fire trucks and put it out. What happens here?
We call 180, I think, and we talk to the fire brigade, and they came. Particularly at the botanical gardens, I happen to be involved in that because I look after the botanical gardens, and Addy, another guy who helps with the botanical gardens, he called me, but he'd already called the fire brigade. So when I arrived, sort of 15 minutes after he called me, the fire brigade were arriving. So they came. We had two fire engines, one from Vanor and one from Pondicherry. And we also had the Oroville fire truck, as it were, which is a tractor with a tanker at the back attached with a compressor and a hose pipe. So we had three quite effective firefighting instruments, which definitely helped us to keep the fire out of the botanical gardens.
I am impressed. I didn't even know we had access to these sort of things.
Yeah, it's good. No, I mean, I think there's been a lot of work done by a lot of people. Arun, Ramesh definitely have been very involved, and I'm sure there's loads of other people whose names I can't really remember at the moment. The secretary's been involved. Srinivas Murthy's been involved. I mean, he's also very active. When we had the fire at the botanical gardens, they came over to see what was happening and to talk with the fire brigade. So there's definitely been a lot of organisation, and there's a certain amount of preparedness. I think Oroville's done the best it can with the budget we have. But Oroville's a large place, you know. Also, there was an amazing telephone network. Someone called me, then I called somebody else, and then I went off to the fire. But the person I called, Glenn, he then called three or four other people, and then they called the youth centre, and the youth centre came over. We had about, within, 15 minutes of the fire starting, we had about, 100 people there. The village came. Two tractor loads of people from Edenchaverty came, all carrying buckets. So it was actually a really good scene, you know. It was lots of people. And that's what you need, really, when you've got fires, because, you know, the way we do it here is beat a lot of the flames down with branches and sand thrown by mumpties. So you need a lot of people because they spread along the ground, and that's how they move, and then they go up into the trees. Somehow it sort of spreads on the ground, and then it catches into a tree and goes up into the tree. But if you can control it on the ground, you can kind of circle the fire and keep the fire contained, as it were. When you've got spaces between the trees, like, for example, at the botanical gardens, we had a road around the outside botanical gardens, and the fire didn't manage to get across that road. It was about 6 meters wide, apart from in one place. And then when it got into the botanical gardens, then it was in the forest, and it was actually very difficult to control it. Luckily, we did. We had a lot of people running around, jumping over thorns and controlling it. So when it gets into a forest situation, it's very difficult to control. But the roads, the natural breaks, the paths, they really help to control the fire.
Mm.
So, you know, there's probably more we can do. And I think as we learn from experience, you see that keeping the paths clean, keeping the natural rights of way, ensuring that there's not branches lying close to those is definitely going to help us to, in the future, contain fires. Because once they've started, they're extremely hot, which is what I... You know, you can fight it for 1, 2, 3 minutes, but then you get really hot and really thirsty and you come out and someone else goes in. So it's not that easy to control it. But so I think there's definitely things we can do and we have to learn from our experiences.
Mm-hmm. So obviously when the rains start, we'll be out of the woods, so to speak. Now, let me ask you this. I see there are sort of yards, depots, where wood is being stacked up here and there. How many of those are there?
I'm not exactly sure. I know there's a big one at Matchmandir. There's a big one over in LRM, over on the Tar Road near Redanchevity. They're the two main large storage, community storages. And then in the forest group, each individual place is storing the wood itself. Already people have been selling firewood. So a lot of the firewood's already been sold, which is good. And now we're getting to the point where we need to start looking at selling the smaller round wood, which has a slightly higher price than the firewood. And it goes to sawmills. So that's the next thing we're going to start to look at to start moving the wood out. And then we have the larger logs. And that will then be a community decision what we do with that wood. Do we keep it to use in construction or do we have our own sawmill or do we sell it? So these are some of the questions that are still being debated by the community.
I see. And in terms of protecting these wood storage places, do you put sand around? Do you try to do something to alleviate the danger of combustion with those woods?
The danger there is not so, they're not really the danger zones because that's large wood, you know, and that really has to be started and there has to be a sort of a, it's like when you start a fire, no? You use small twigs. Mm-hmm. So small twigs start easily. If you put a big log to start a fire and you put a match under it, it doesn't work. Or so actually those places, or yes, I haven't been involved, but I'm sure they've taken precautions and I know that they'll have quick access to water in both of those places because they have good wells and they have pipelines. But they're not really the danger points.
So what are the danger places?
Everywhere, really, where there's brush lying around. I mean, I see now that people, the LRM's organizing tractors to move out a lot of the very small twigs and they're being taken to areas where I think they've been dumped in the around the villages where people can have easy access for the firewood. But generally, I suppose by roads, by pathways, because how are the fires starting? They're starting, we're not sure, probably some are starting from broken glass because it's so hot, so dry, and the magnifying effect of a broken bottle can start fires.
Wow.
Or maybe a drop cigarette, drop beedy, which is always going to be by the side of the paths. People moving, throwing away a cigarette carelessly and starting the fire like that.
Yes.
Smokey
the Bear says, don't drop your cigarettes by the side of the road. Dispose of them carefully.
Okay, so it's any place where there's brush, dry leaves, and sort of thing like that. There have been no casualties, so nobody's been hurt from these fires, I hope.
I don't know if anyone has been hurt. Maybe a blister on the toe wearing chappels because it's pretty hot again. Luckily, I was wearing shoes, so I didn't suffer from that. A couple of thorns in the arm because you rush past a thorn trying to put out a flame and you get caught by a wait a minute. But apart from that, I don't think there's been any other major injuries.
Great. Anything you would like to say in conclusion for the folks out there in the whole world who are worried about Oroville burning down?
Don't worry, guys. It's all right. I'm sure it'll be all right. We're here. We're trying our best. And sure, come over and help us. It's pretty hot, though, so bring plenty of cold water.
Invitation for tomorrow's general meeting. A follow-up of last Wednesday's general meeting, where many felt that the agenda was too different from the one that had been promised. This meeting is booked to unfailingly adhere to the agenda below, which is to hear from and discuss with the outgoing Lavenir team the challenges of their work. To participate in discussion on planning policies for Oroville's future, and to ask questions and interact on the theme of planning the city. That's tomorrow, Wednesday, 13th June, 4:30 p.m. at Unity Pavilion. The Residents' Assembly Service, organizer of the meeting, offers the incentive of tea, biscuits, and tasty samosas to those attending. And this from the mother. In truth, the only thing that is truly tragic is not to become conscious of one's soul, the psychic being, and not to be entirely guided by it in one's life. To die before having found one's soul and lived according to its law, that is the true failure. And the true glory? To find the divine in oneself and to live according to that law. Well, you've been listening to Oroville Radio. On microphone today, Marlenka, in studio, Miriam. Questions and comments may be directed to oroville radio.org. Thanks for listening.